Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week we'll be airing a study which was taught live at Calvary Chapel La Mirada. The study was a part of a verse-by-verse teaching through the Sermon on the Mount recorded in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. This week we'll be giving a historical background leading up to the Beatitudes and then looking at the first Beatitude, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The focus for today's message will be on the Jewish understanding of the kingdom of heaven in contrast with that which Jesus would bring about. The Jewish sects were looking to bring in the kingdom of heaven by some means of force, while Jesus states that entrance into his kingdom starts with being poor in spirit.
Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. This morning we are starting a verse-by-verse study through the Sermon on the Mount. And let's read through the Beatitudes, the first 12 verses of this powerful sermon. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went on a He went on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who are before you." And so obviously, as we come to this portion of the Beatitudes, this blessed are God's blessing upon people's lives, it comes in a strange form. It comes upon those who mourn, those who are poor in spirit, those who are persecuted. It would have been a message obviously contrary to our culture today, as it was completely contrary to the culture and the time in which Jesus ministered. This was not the message that was popular. It was not the mentality that the people came to listen to Jesus to. So this would have been really foreign and almost strange to those who originally heard this message. And what I want to do my best this morning is to give the setting of the Sermon on the Mount to you, the historical religious setting, as well as what this term blessed means, and then begin to look at what it is to be poor in spirits. So it's kind of an introduction to this entire message called the Sermon on the Mount. And the title for today is God's Pathway to Joy, or I could have said God's Pathway to Blessedness. But since we don't use that term blessed as much, we will understand what it means in the setting here of Matthew 5. Let me give you the historical and religious setting in which this sermon comes out of. You have to understand a little bit of the history of the nation of Israel to really understand how foreign or the power in which this message was given. The nation of Israel, God selected them and promised greatness to them. He said, "I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. And I'm going to bless your going in and your coming in and your going out." And he had a plan for them, and he wanted to be ruler over them and make them a nation that would be a light to all the entire world, that they could be an example to of what it is to be in a right relationship with God. Well, as you, if you're familiar with the Bible, you realize that the nation of Israel ended up in Egypt, and then through Charlton Heston, well, Moses, they were brought out of the land of Egypt and went into the territory and conquered it. Then God gave them the law, and he says, "If you will obey me, I'll keep you in this land, and I'll make your nation great, and I will bless you. But if you disobey me, I'm going to drive you out of the land, just as I drove these other nations out before you." Well, the nation of Israel went along with its ups and downs like any nation would, and eventually they got into some trouble. The nation divided. They had basically a civil war on a small scale, and the nation itself divided among the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. The 10 tribes which occupied the northern territory was an ungodly nation. They received the name Israel. And they had kings that were all evil. And basically, their moral and spiritually just completely declined. And what happened was eventually God drove them out of the land through a nation, a foreign nation that was cruel, that was pagan, and inflicted cruelties upon their victims. the nation of Assyria. In about 722, they drove them from the land and dispersed them. So the 10 tribes were dispersed. The two southern tribes, which went by the title of Judah, all of their kings descended from the line of David. There was an unbroken chain of descendants that sat on the throne there in the south. And they had good kings and they had bad kings. They'd have reforms and revivals, and you know, some kings would be corrupt, and the next one maybe a godly king and bring the people back to the Lord. But eventually they also grew corrupt to the point where God said, that's it. And in 606 BC, God took another foreign nation called Babylon, a pagan nation, a powerful nation, came in, leveled the temple, leveled the city, and drove them out of the territory and brought them back to Babylon. And that's where Daniel was deported. If you've studied the book of Daniel before, he was taken back to Babylon during that time period. Well, eventually God said, I'm going to only leave you in Babylon for 70 years, and I'll let you go back to the land. I'll give you a brand new start. Let's start over to rebuild your nation, spiritually as well as physically. So they went through back to the land through the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah. Those two books in the Old Testament describe that, going back to rebuild the temple, going back to rebuild the city and the wall. Remember Nehemiah, all the boulders were in the way and they had to rebuild the wall, and it was during a troublesome time. Well, that was under the reign of the Persians. The Persians conquered Babylon and they allowed the Jews to go back in their homeland. They didn't give it to them. They kept them under their thumb and taxed them, and they were basically under their control. Well, Persia was not an empire that lasted forever. Eventually, through Alexander the Great, the Greek Empire conquered Persia, and now Israel is under the Greek control. Alexander the Great quickly died as he was rising to power, and the nation of the Greece was divided into four territories, and they went to the four different generals of Alexander the Great. In the south, which governed Egypt, one family dominated that territory, and then in the north was what was called Syria. And Israel was right in the middle. And these two nations battled back and forth, and Israel was right in the center. So basically, whenever a war happened, the enemies would trounce right through their land. Sometimes battles were right there in Israel, because it was a strategic point militarily, politically, just like it is today and will be until the Lord comes back. And so Israel suffered during those times. Sometimes they were under Egypt, sometimes they're under Syria. Didn't have their own leadership or their own control. Well, eventually Israel mounted an offensive against Syria and was able to throw them off their backs and take control back of the land in about 140. They were able to do this. And then the priests, a family called the Hasmonean family, began to lead the nation of Israel. And it seemed like things are going in the right direction, but these priests eventually became corrupt. And so the people's heart were disheartened again over a kingdom or God establishing his blessing upon their life. Then about 40 BC, getting close to the time of Jesus, Rome took over. And Rome basically took authority over the land, taxed the nation of Israel. Some estimates are 30 to 50%. Their income was taxed, very similar today in our nation. And what Rome did, they also divided the nation of Israel into two territories. They divided the southern part, Judea, and they put a governor that was loyal to Rome, that basically had his allegiance to Rome and came out of the Roman government, named Pontius Pilate. And he had at his disposal 12,000 troops in case any rebellion started up, because the Jews were known for their rebellions toward the governing authorities. And he had direct link to Caesar, and if there was a problem, he could call for Rome, and he'd have a massive amount of troops to squash that rebellion. And that was in the south, which we called Judea. The northern part of Israel at the time of Christ, which is the Galilee area, was ruled by King Herod. And this is someone that was Jewish that the people actually appointed or approved of, sort of. Herod was part Jewish and part pagan. And he was a cruel individual. He is the one that at the birth of Christ, remember he had all those babies 2 years and older, 2 years and younger, murdered. He also had 10 wives. He strangled two of his own sons and bumped off one of his wives. So kind of a horrible king to have over you. And when he died, the kingdom went to his lineage, and they were corrupt as he was. And that individual in Galilee in the north was loyal to Rome, basically was a puppet ruler, basically doing what Rome wanted, and again, taxed the people heavily. Now, that's not all that was going on just in the nation of Israel itself. So you could see they were an oppressed people, they were a conquered people, but yet God promised them greatness. And they wanted that. They wanted that freedom. They wanted that liberty. So in the midst of all these things happening, these splinter groups developed, both religious as well as